find an authorized version of the English Bible in front of you in the pew, if you take it up, we're turning for our Bible reading this morning to the third gospel, the gospel according to Luke, and the last chapter of that gospel, chapter 24. Luke's gospel, chapter 24. And we're reading, commencing our reading at verse 36. We read together, taking your time from me. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, and verse 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when they had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he saith unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a boiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. The Lord will stamp with his own divine approval this reading from his very own infallible book in the Lord's great name. Turn with me, please, to this last chapter of Luke's Gospel. The verse 50 of the 24th chapter of Luke's Gospel. And he, that is our Lord Jesus, led them out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. I want to speak to you today upon the premissory of Christ. Of course, there are pretenders in this world of ours that would tell you they could read your future in the palm of your hand. Someone has said they might have 1% of the grain of truth, but they have definitely 99% of the falsehood. But this Bible that we have spends a lot of time on the hands of Christ. I was amazed during the last days as I studied this subject about the multitudes of reference to the hands of our Lord. I want to mention 8 characteristics of the Lord's hands today. You will remember that after the crucifixion, as is revealed in this chapter, Christ appeared to his fearing apostles. Apostles struck with fear that they too would be apprehended by the authorities and put to crucifixion. Here in this chapter, Christ appeared to these fearing apostles in the upper room. And would you please note this, that the first thing he requested them to look at was not his feet, nor his head, nor his face, but upon his hands. Look at verse 39. Behold my hands. Behold my hands. The body of Christ calls for reverence and for worship. Christ's holy body. Who made it? The Father made it. It was fashioned in the womb of the pure virgin by the Father. A body thou hast made me. Oh, the mystery of the tabernacle of humanity, which the Lord took into union with his deity, to be forever the God-man, the man Christ Jesus. His hands are personal hands. You see, Christ is truly God and truly man. When he left heaven, he didn't leave aside his deity, but rather he took into union with his deity our humanity. As our catechism well teaches, the eternal Son of God became man by taking to himself a true body and a reasonable soul. And so was and continues to be God and man in two distinct natures and one person forever. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't leave aside his deity when he came from heaven. Neither did he leave aside his humanity when he rose from the tomb. His was a bodily resurrection. I have often, in my silent soul, thought of the making by Christ, by God, the body that a son was going to dwell in. How God the Father shaped the fingers and the thumb of his son's hand to be. blessed personal hands of God the Son. But I would ask you to note that they were not only his personal hands, but they were his pure hands. The psalmist says, who can ascend into the house of God and into the hill of God? And he says, he that hath clean hands. Not one of all Adam's race had clean hands. For all that come into the world by human generation are stained with Adam's fall and sin. But Christ had pure hands. And even when he came to judgment, those who hated him, betrayed him, sentenced him, and cursed him, and crucified him, had to acknowledge the purity of Christ. You will remember what Judas said when he brought back the blood money, money of treason and treachery and betrayal. What did he say? Behold, I have betrayed innocent blood. The hands of Christ were clean hands. They were pure hands because they were innocent hands. Do you remember Pilate? He repeated 3 times, I find no fault in him. Why? Because Jesus Christ had pure hands. The dying thief started off joining with his companion and throwing dishonor into the teeth of Christ. But suddenly he has changed, and he cries out, this man hath done nothing amiss. This man hath done nothing amiss. The centurion that commanded that the nails be pierced his hands and his feet. The centurion who took charge of the awful crucifixion. When Christ died, he said, he is the Son of God. He is a righteous man. The hands of Christ are personal hands. They are pure hands, but they are performing hands. Christ was a worker. And after he finished his boyhood, we have the scriptures telling us he must have been employed by his father, who was a carpenter. And they said about him, is not this the carpenter? And for the hidden years, as they are called, of Christ's life, of which we have no record in the Bible whatsoever. At the age of 12, he speaks, and then there is a silence, until at the age of 30, he starts his ministry. And then he came out into the open, and the word that he spoke as a lad of 12, I must be about my father's business. He became a toiler in the business of his death and substitution for our sins. My father worketh, he says, and I work. hands were performing hands. He did the job, and praise God, he did it well. And he finished the work that God had given him to do. And as I look upon his hands, they are performing hands. They did the cross work that God appointed him to accomplish. But they are not only his personal hands, and his pure hands, and his performing hands. They are his powerful hands. What might and power and strength and omnipotence were in the hands of Christ. John the Baptist, his forerunner, mentioned his hand and his hands. And he said his fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. He will gather the wheat into the garners and burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Devastation in the hand of Christ. Salvation in the hand of Christ. At the great judgment day, what will you receive, my friend, my hearer? Will it be the everlasting burnings and unquenchable fire? Or will it be the garnering of your soul to the harvest of Christ and salvation? What power is in the hand of Jesus? He will say to those on the right hand, come. He will say to those on the left hand, depart. What word will ring in your ear in that final judgment day? Saved or lost? Eternal darkness or eternal light? It rests in the hand of Jesus. Our Savior, our sister, was singing to us today, what a day that will be when he leads me by the hand through God's promised land. What a day, a glorious day that will be. But what about the dark day when a lost sinner goes out into the everlasting night of darkness? I would say to you, sinner, this morning, be in time. While the voice of Jesus calls you, be in time. If in sin you longer wait, you may find no open gate, and your cry be just too late. Be in time. Jesus was a prophet. He had the prophet's hands. What did the great prophet that was the type of Christ in the Old Testament, what did he carry in his hands? He carried the two tables of the law. Christ brings in his hand the law of God. He didn't break the law like Moses. He kept it. He kept it for you and for me. And you can become righteous not by effort of your own, but by simple faith in his work for you as your substitute, surety, and savior. He also is our priest. He has the priestly hands. What did the priest carry? The priest carried the blood. Christ not only carries the book of God, but he carries the blood of God, which he shed for rebels, which he shed for sinners, which, thank God, He shed for me, and He shed for you. He is the King, and the King carries with Him the scepter of His dominion. He reigneth over all. You don't need to worry who is in Downing Street, or who is in the White House, or at the Kremlin. Christ is on the throne. Christ rules. I don't understand the intricacies of His rulership. I don't know why He allows this and that to happen, but I know He doeth all things well. And I know that all things work together according to His will and according to His purpose. Nothing can happen outside the will of God. Powerful hands. But one thing I did notice that I had never noticed before, that His hands were parental hands. Little children came to Him. He took them up in His arms. He put His hands upon them. He blessed them. He said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." How happy those little ones must have been when the hands of Jesus were laid in their head. I wish that His hand had been placed in my head and His arms had been thrown around me. The hymn writer writes, but my friend, there's something greater than that. He has, for us believing people, put His hands eternally upon our hearts and upon our souls and upon our own persons. Parental hands. You remember the young boy taken with the devil and thrown in the ground by satanic power, and all the people said he was dead. But the parental hand of Christ raised him, gave him back to his father, a new boy with the freshness of eternal healing upon his body. In the Isle of Patmos, when John in exile fell dead before Christ because of the glory of His majesty, Christ laid His hand upon him and said, "Fear not." And He raised him from the ground, a living man. You cannot die in the presence of Christ. Oh, the eloquence and power of the hands of Jesus. But I suppose to us all, the most touching thing about the Savior's hands is this, that they were pierced hands. The old prophet Zechariah, 500 years before Christ died on the cross, before His hands were pierced, he asked the question, "What are these wounds?" He didn't say in His side or in His head. He said, "What are these wounds in thy hands?" Thy hands. It was also to Thomas that Christ said, "Put thy finger into the nail prints in my hands." Oh, here is grace. Grace for us all. Christ saves the thieves of the thief on the cross, and the Mary Magdalene's possessed with devils on the ground. All can be saved by asking the Lord to put out His hand. And with the request of the leper on our lips, Lord, cleanse me. And Christ reached forth his hand. And when he reached forth his hand, he was going to do an act that no other priest would do. Because the priests dare not touch leprosy. And if they touched it, they became unclean themselves. But Christ touched the unclean leper, and he was healed forever by the power of God. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. But of course, those hands were proclaiming hands. You see, when he came amongst them, he raised his hands and he had one word upon his lips. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Those hands declare that all fears can be put away as Christ lifts up his hands. And finally, could I just mention, they are patient hands. Christ is still inviting men and women, although he has held out his hands to you, sinner, year after year, and you've pushed them away. They're still outstretched. For Christ is patient. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Don't push away his pierced hand today, dear sinner friend. Put out your hand and say, Lord, save me, I perish. Remember Peter, perishing in the storm-tossed billows. He said, Lord, save me. And he put out his hand. And he saved Peter from sinking and from death. Can do the same for you. Oh, my friend, his hands are patient. He stands at the door, and with his hand he knocks on your door. He's knocked for a long time. Christ rejecter. Don't reject him again. Don't leave this house trampling underfoot the blood of Christ. Leave this house trusting in the blood, having received life that is everlasting. To the thirsty one, he says, come. To the hardened one, he says, come, let us reason together. To those that are laboring under religious deceit and deception, he says, come all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And at the end of the Bible we read, the Spirit says, come. The bride, the church, says, come. And Christ says, come. Grasp and clasp his hand now, and you'll be saved. Not for the years of time alone, but for all eternity. May not one of us be without the blessing of the hands of Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the hands of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, you'll touch us all afresh with those hands, and we'll go away with the fragrance and the joy, and we'll be able to say, oh, he touched me, and oh, my heart was filled with joy. He touched. Oh, he touched me. Touch us all now. Touch the sinner with a touch of salvation. Touch the backslider with a touch of restoration. Touch, oh God and Father, thy people with the touch of sanctification, and let us all know the sweetness of his hands. And may we put forth our finger of faith and touch the piercing of his hands. We thank thee for the joy of knowing that he has imprinted us on the palms of his hands. Our name is written on his very hands. He is bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. And we shall never perish. No man can pluck them out of his hand. May it be so for Jesus' sake. And everybody said, Amen. Amen.